The blessing of the font. These lessons and prayers and chants have taken up a considerable portion of time. The sun has long since set, and the night is far advanced. All the preparatory exercises are over, and it is time to repair to the baptistry. During the prophecies, 7 subdeacons went thither, and there they have thrice recited the litany. In the first recitation, they repeated each invocation 7 times, in the second, 5 times, and in the third, 3 times. A procession is formed towards this building, which is detached from the church, and is either circular or octagonal in form. In the center is a large font with several steps leading down to it. A stream of clear water flows into it from the mouth of a metal stag. Over the font is suspended a canopy, or cupola, in the center of which is a dove with extended wings, which represents the Holy Ghost, giving virtue to the water beneath. Round the font is a railing, within which none may enter, but those who are to be baptized, the sponsors, the bishop, and the priests. 2 pavilions, one for the men, the other for the women, have been put up. They are for the baptized, wherein, after they come from the font, they may change their garments. The procession moves from the church to the baptistry in the following order. The paschal candle, which represents the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites by night to the Red Sea, in whose waters they found salvation, goes first, leading on the catechumens. These follow, having their sponsors on their right hand, for each candidate for baptism is to be represented by a Christian. Then come 2 acolytes. One carries the holy chrism, the other the oil of catechumens. Next, the clergy, and lastly, the bishop and his assistant ministers. The procession is by torchlight. The stars are brightly shining in the canopy of heaven, and the air resounds with the melodious chanting. They are singing those verses of the psalm in which David compares his soul's pining after her God to the panting of a stag that thirsts for a fount of water. The stag, an image of which is in the font, is a figure of the catechumen who longs for baptism. Tract. As the stag panteth after the fountains of water, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul hath thirsted after the living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? My tears have been my bread day and night, while it is said to me daily, Where is thy God? They soon reach the baptistry. The bishop, having come within sight of the font, prefaces his blessing by a prayer, in which he again uses the comparison of a panting stag to express to God the longing of this people after the new life, of which Christ is the source. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, look mercifully on the devotion of the people desiring a new birth, who pant, as the hart, after the fountain of thy waters, and mercifully grant that the thirst of their faith may, by the sacrament of baptism, sanctify their souls and bodies. Amen. The blessing of water for baptism is of apostolic institution, as we learn from many of the Holy Fathers, among whom we may mention St. Cyprian, St. Ambrose, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, and St. Basil. It is just that the instrument of so divine a work should receive every mark of honor that could secure to it the respect of mankind. And, after all, does not this honor and respect redound to God, who chose this creature to be, as it were, the cooperator of his mercies to us? It is from water that we came forth Christians. The early fathers allude to this when they call Christians the fish of Christ. We cannot be surprised after this that the sight of the element that gave us our spiritual life should excite us to joy, or that we should pay to this element an honor which is referred to the author of all the graces about to be bestowed. The prayer used by the bishop for blessing the water is so full of elevation of thought, energy of diction, and authority of doctrine, that we may, without hesitation, attribute it to the earliest ages of the Church. The ceremonies which accompany it bespeak its venerable antiquity. It is sung to the solemn tone of the preface, which imparts such a lyric effect. The pontiff first recites a preliminary prayer, and then begins his magnificent blessing. He is filled with the holy enthusiasm of the Church. He turns to the faithful, and they respond. He is going to lead them to such grand mysteries, sursum corda. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, be present at these mysteries, be present at these sacraments of thy great goodness, and send forth the spirit of adoption to regenerate the new people, whom the font of baptism brings forth, that what is to be done by our weak ministry may be accomplished by the effect of thy power, through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Holy Ghost, God for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we have them fixed on God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and just. It is truly meet and just, right and available to salvation, that we should always and in all places give thanks to thee, O holy Lord, almighty Father, eternal God, who by thy invisible power dost wonderfully produce the effect of thy sacraments. And though we are unworthy to administer so great mysteries, yet, as thou dost not forsake the gifts of thy grace, so thou inclinest the ears of thy goodness, even to our prayers. O God, whose Spirit in the very beginning of the world moved over the waters, that even then the nature of water might receive the virtue of sanctification. O God, who by water didst wash away the crimes of the guilty world, and by the overflowing of the deluge didst give a figure of regeneration, that one and the same element might in a mystery be the end of vice and the origin of virtue. Look, O Lord, on the face of thy Church, and multiply in her thy regenerations, who by the streams of thy abundant grace fillest thy city with joy, and openest the font of baptism all over the world for the renovation of the Gentiles, that by the command of thy majesty she may receive the grace of thy only Son from the Holy Ghost. Here the pontiff pauses a moment, and putting his hand into the water divides it in the form of a cross, to signify that it is by the cross that this element receives the power of regenerating the souls of men. This wonderful power had been promised to water, but the promise was not fulfilled until Christ had shed his blood upon the cross. It is this blood which operates by the water on the souls of men, and with the action of this precious blood is joined that of the Holy Ghost, as the pontiff tells us in his prayer, which he thus continues. Who, by a secret mixture of his divine virtue, may render this water fruitful for the regeneration of men, to the end that those who have been sanctified in the immaculate womb of this divine font, being born again a new creature, may come forth a heavenly offspring, and that all that are distinguished either by sex in body or by age in time may be brought forth to the same infancy by grace, their spiritual mother. Therefore may all unclean spirits, by thy command, O Lord, depart far from hence. May the whole malice of diabolical deceit be entirely banished. May no power of the enemy prevail here. May he not fly about to lay his snares. May he not creep in by his secret artifice. May he not corrupt with his infection. After having thus besought God to protect the water of the font from the influence which Satan seeks to exercise over every creature, the bishop puts his hand upon it. The august character of a pontiff or priest is a source of sanctification. The mere contact of his consecrated hand produces a salutary effect, as often as he acts in virtue of the priesthood of Christ, which dwells within him. May this holy and innocent creature be free from all the assaults of the enemy, and purified by the destruction of all his malice. May it be a living fountain, a regenerating water, a purifying stream, that all those that are to be washed in this saving bath may obtain by the operation of the Holy Ghost the grace of a perfect purification. While pronouncing the following words, the bishop blesses the water, thrice making over it the sign of the cross. Therefore I bless thee, O creature of water, by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, by that God who in the beginning separated thee by his word from the dry land, whose spirit moved over thee. The bishop next makes an allusion to the four rivers which watered the earthly paradise. He again divides the water with his hand and sprinkles it towards the north, south, east, and west, for the four parts of the world received the preaching of baptism. While performing this expressive ceremony, he continues his prayer as follows. Who made thee flow from the fountain of paradise, and commanded thee to water the whole earth with thy four rivers? Who, changing thy bitterness in the desert into sweetness, made thee fit to drink, and produced thee out of a rock, to quench the thirst of the people? I bless thee also by our Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, who in Cana of Galilee changed thee into wine by a wonderful miracle of his power, who walked upon thee dry foot, and was baptized in thee by John in the Jordan, who made thee flow out of his side together with his blood, and commanded his disciples that such as believed should be baptized in thee, saying, Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Here the bishop interrupts the solemn and triumphant tone of the preface, and simply reads the following words. He has signed the water with the sign of the cross. He now invokes upon it the vivifying action of the Holy Ghost. Do thou, Almighty God, mercifully assist us who observe this command. Do thou graciously inspire us. The Holy Ghost is called Spirit, which means a breath. He is the divine breathing, that mighty wind, which was heard in the cenacle. The pontiff, to express this character of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, thrice breathes in the form of a cross over the water of the font, and then continues in the same reading tone. Do thou with thy mouth bless these clear waters, that besides their natural virtue of cleansing the body, they may also be effectual for the purifying of the soul. Then, taking the paschal candle, he dips the lower end of it into the font. This rite signifies the mystery of Christ's baptism in the Jordan, whereby the element of water received the pledge of its future sanctifying power. The Son of God went down into the stream, and the Holy Ghost came upon him in the form of a dove. But now it is something more than a promise. The water receives the reality, the virtue, and it receives it by the action of these two divine persons. The bishop, therefore, resuming the tone of the preface, chants these words while plunging into the font the paschal candle, the symbol of Christ, over whom hovers the celestial dove. May the virtue of the Holy Ghost descend into all the water of this font. After these words, the pontiff takes the candle out of the water and then plunges it in again still deeper, singing the same words, but on a higher note. May the virtue of the Holy Ghost descend into all the water of this font. Having again withdrawn the candle, he plunges it a third time into the water, even to the bottom of the font. He sings the same words to a still higher note. May the virtue of the Holy Ghost descend into all the water of this font. Before taking the candle from the water the third time, the bishop leans forward over the font, and that he may signify the union of the power of the Holy Ghost with that of Christ, he breathes again upon the water, not this time in the form of a cross, but in that of the Greek letter psi, which is the initial of the Greek word for spirit. This done, he resumes his prayer by the following words: "And make the whole substance of this water fruitful and capable of regenerating." The paschal candle is then raised out of the font, and the bishop thus continues: "Here may the stains of all sins be washed out. Here may human nature, created to thy image and reformed to the honor of its author, be cleansed from all the filth of the old man, that all who receive this sacrament of regeneration may be born again new children of true innocence." The bishop recites the rest in the simple reading tone: "Through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who shall come to judge the living and the dead, and the world by fire. Amen." As soon as the people have answered Amen, one of the priests sprinkles them with the water that has thus been blessed, and an acolyte fills a large vessel with it, that it may be used in the service of the church, and in sprinkling the houses of the faithful. But the church is not satisfied with having given her blessing to the water. On Thursday, she was put in possession of the graces of the Holy Ghost by receiving the holy oils. With these, she would now honor the font, mingling a portion of them with the water. The faithful, seeing how every symbol expressive of divine adoption is made to bear upon the water, whence men receive salvation, will learn what is the reverence they should have for the font. The bishop, taking the oil of catechumens, pours it into the water, saying, "May this font be sanctified and made fruitful by the oil of salvation, for such as are regenerated therein unto life everlasting. Amen." Then, taking the holy chrism, he pours it into the font, saying, "May this infusion of the chrism of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be made in the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen." Finally, taking the chrism in his right hand and the oil of catechumens in his left, he pours from the two phials at once. This sacred rite signifies the superabundant grace of baptism. While pouring in the two oils together, the bishop says, "May this mixture of the chrism of sanctification, and of the oil of unction, and of the water of baptism, be made in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." After these words, the bishop puts his hand into the font and mixes the holy oils with the water, that thus every portion of it may come into contact with this additional source of sanctification. Having wiped his hand, he takes off such of his vestments as would inconvenience him in the administration of baptism.